Committee meeting to order for May 10th and note that I thought we were going to go on much earlier, but Operations Committee kind of trumps sparing today. First,
deliberately.
We appreciate that. We all think our committee is the most important, leaving us 2 minutes to get our work done. Can I confirm the quorum, please?
You have a quorum, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Consent calendar consists of items 2A through D. Moved by Sparing, seconded by Halstead. Any objection to the motion? Motion passed without objection. Let's move to item 3.
Good morning. I'm Denise Rodriguez. I'm Contract Compliance Manager here at MTC.
Good morning.
And I'll be presenting the final revised MTC Language Assistance Plan to you today and requesting that your committee approve the final revised plan and forward the plan to MTC Commission for approval. Federal requirements require MTC to have a plan to provide access to those with limited English proficiency, or LEPs, in the region. MTC has done that for some time. In 2010, MTC adopted the current plan by formalizing all of the steps it had taken previously into one plan. After adoption of the plan in 2010, the FTA came out and did an audit of Title VI, and didn't find problems with the plan, but found that the analysis for the plan was lacking, and asked that we revise the analysis that supported the plan. So we went about doing that, and that's the four factors are detailed in the memo before you, and the results of the four-factor analysis are detailed in the final revised report, which is Attachment A in your packet. After the plan was revised, although the FTA didn't require that the plan be, after the analysis was performed, the FTA didn't require that we revise the plan, but staff took a look at the new data, and the analysis and the organization and development of vital documents, and determined that revising the plan was in the best interest of the agency. So we set about doing that. We issued the draft revised plan on April 3rd for a three-week public comment period. And as part of that, we sent out a press release. We sent emails to over 60 CBOs located within the region, and then the list of CBOs is included as Attachment B in your packet. And we also presented the draft plan to the Policy Advisory Committee's Subcommittee on Equity and Access. And I apologize, I'm trying to be brief here, so if I'm talking
too
fast.
It's okay, take your time. Please.
We've got another minute left.
Okay. Yeah. There's another attachment to your memo, I believe it's Attachment C, that summarizes all of the public comments received. Only one of the public comments resulted in a change to the draft plan. And that comment came from one of the Policy Advisory Council members, and that had to do with competency standards for translators and interpreters. Now, that was something that we have done and continue to do. So MTC, what staff did was just added one line to Section 3.1 of the plan that clearly indicates that we have competency standards for translators and interpreters from outside the agency and also for internal staff. And then MTC also does random checks of translated materials to ensure that they're translated correctly, because a verbatim translation won't always work. It's really, you need to get the meaning across. So we do those random checks to make sure that the information is then being translated correctly to those with limited English proficiency. So with that, I'll conclude by requesting that your committee for the final revised plan to the MTC Commission for approval, and if you have any questions, I can answer those.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Campos.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much for your work. I appreciate the effort. I guess what I would say is that I think that I would expect a higher level of community involvement. Mm-hmm. Just looking at the list of organizations within San Francisco, for instance, there are some pretty clear gaps. I mean, there are groups within the Mission, the Latino community, that have been working on language access there are groups in the Chinese-speaking community, like, you know, the Asian Law Caucus, Chinese for Affirmative Action, that actually have worked extensively on language access policies for the police department, for the city and county of San Francisco as a whole, that are not included here. I appreciate sending an email, but I actually think that you have to do more than that to actually engage, to have meaningful community engagement. So I would simply hope that we go beyond where we are, because I don't think that it's sufficient.
So the press release that was sent out to the mass MTC contact list. We just followed up with a separate email to these CBOs. And then it's also, as part of the analysis, the four-factor analysis, we worked with some of these CBOs, and we reached out to the same CBOs. But I'd definitely like to work with you to get some of the names of those CBOs so we can continue to work with them.
When I think of community involvement, I think of actually going to these communities, having meetings in the communities, hearing directly from the people that are impacted. Did you do any of that?
We did. We had two focus groups. Under this round of analysis, we had a focus group in the San Mateo County and a focus group in Santa Clara County with at CBOs, and that is documented in the four-factor analysis summary in Section 2.
And what is a focus group exactly?
We worked with MIG Incorporated. They were our consultant who helped us do the analysis, and they brought in constituents of those CBOs to get feedback on MTC's services and supplies, to really find out, as part of the four-factor analysis, to find out the importance of our services to those LEP communities and the importance of those services to the LEP communities, to get direct feedback on those and on the current language assistance measures that we have in place.
I would just say that I don't think that a focus group necessarily is sufficient to provide the kind of community involvement that you want. I don't even know how really well acquainted this group is with the diverse populations of a place like San Francisco, where you do not even have a focus group. So,
in addition to the focus groups, we had 945 LEP surveys that we received from the LEP community, asking those same questions about the importance and the frequency of MTC services. So I'm not saying that that's enough. I think we can always do more. So I appreciate your input and would like to work with you to do that.
Thank you.
Maybe it might be helpful next time we go to do this, you contact the commissioners and let them know, because, you know, we do know groups that are kind of involved in this sort of thing, and maybe we could specifically give you lists of names of people we would like you to contact.
Yes.
And then you can bring the horse to the trough, but they've got to drink the water.
Yes.
So,
Mr. Chairman, if
yes.
I could add as well, because what we're doing here is we're gathering comment or involvement on a plan to do things. And the things, it seems to me, are pretty important as well. And just as an example, we did a lot of specific outreach, and I know Commissioner Campos and Weiner helped us with that in San Francisco on Clipper when we were rolling it out in the Chinese-American community and so on and so forth. And we've had a very successful partnership with a number of community-based organizations. I think this is our second long-range plan where we have done a lot of work with them. So I want to assure you that we take this seriously, and that it's not just the federal rule book that we're worried about. It's the actual projects and services that we're providing. And I think, as you've heard, we can always do better. But I think we're doing quite a lot there already. And I like the suggestion of working with you, because you could probably be in many cases more plugged in than we are in particular places.
I just want to know that I really appreciate the efforts. I think that you know, it's a challenging population or populations to reach out to. And so I think that it's good to have the kind of communication. And I think along the lines of the chair, I think that, you know, all of us have some our own experiences and connections. So I'm happy to work with you on that.
Okay. With that, are there any other questions? Then I will be fishing for a motion.
So moved.
Good. Moved by McKenzie, seconded by Sparing. Is there any objection to the motion? Motion will pass without objection. Item 4A.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Randy Rentschler, Metropolitan Transportation Commission. This next item is just an information item. You have a lot of action items to go, so I'm going to be quite brief. But I do think it's important to keep each of you up to date on what's going on with respect to cap and trade up in Sacramento. Cap and trade gets a lot of news, but it could also get us quite a bit of revenue, particularly in the transportation sector. And it could be really a bellwether of our future if it continues on the path that it's on. But there's a great deal of uncertainty out there about how this is eventually going to manifest itself. What is important and what I wanted to update you on is that there's basically two tracks that are underway right now. One is centered with the administration and with the California Air Resources Board. That board took an action in April, on April 25th, to talk about a proposed expenditure plan. It's a resolution that they took. Them and Department of Finance are really the actors on the administrative side. On the legislative side, the bill that we are most interested in is Assembly Bill 574 by the Assembly Transportation Chair Lowenthal. She's from Los Angeles, which is beginning to flesh out what an architecture of an allocation of cap and trade money could look like. And we're working with our transportation partners around the state of California to try to get this bill focused. So I'm going to give you just a quick example of where we are and where we hope to go. Right now, this bill outlines eligible projects, which is on your memo on the bottom part of page one that wraps over to page two. I'm just going to let them, I'm not going to read them all. They're there for you to see, but it gives you a sense of the wide variety of projects that are eligible for these funds if these funds were to materialize as a result of cap and trade. The other part is who gets the money. I don't think there's any doubt that there's going to be a series of state needs. I'm going to use high-speed rail as an example, but there are others. And there's also regional needs, of which you all make many decisions on. And an example of that is STP-CMAQ. The STIP is a process that both has state needs and regional needs as well. And that's the model we're looking at here. We're hopeful it would be a formula-driven model that would stand up over time as opposed to an annual state budget item, which is what we'd probably like to avoid. An annual state budget item would make this process highly uncertain. You wouldn't know what's going to happen year to year to year. So that's the basic thrust of what we're working toward. Again, I know this is just an information item. We're going to continue to keep you updated on it. And with that, I can handle any questions if you have them.
Thank you. Are there any questions? You are a quiet group today. All right, we'll move on to 4B.
Good morning, Chair Hagerty, Commissioners. Rebecca Long with MTC staff. Item 4B is about the administration's active transportation program. This is the Brown administration's most significant policy recommendation this year. It is part of their budget proposal, but it's a trailer bill because it's a long-term change in how a number of different state and federal grant programs would be administered. Essentially, what they're proposing is to consolidate what are currently kind of stovepipe grant programs. We've got a bicycle transportation account. We've got state safe routes to school funding. Now we have a federal transportation alternatives program. They want to collapse all these, as you can see in the attachment to the memo, into one program. We think that's, you know, a great idea. It sounds like, you know, less administrative overhead. It's consistent with the direction that's been going on at the federal level to, you know, consolidate programs, make it simpler. But we do have a couple of recommended changes that we'd like your support for so that we can support this proposal but lobby for some amendments. The first one is related to project eligibility. Under the trailer bill, they explicitly make environmental mitigation an eligible expense, and it's structured in a way that's quite vague, and so we're concerned that potentially some of those funds could be used for mitigation projects for, you know, roadway widenings or other things where it's really not focused on bicycle and pedestrian enhancements, and given that, you know, there is still a limited amount of funding relative to the need for active transportation, we'd like to see that more narrowly tailored. Essentially, how environmental mitigation usually works is, you know, if you have a funding source for any particular purpose, you can use that funding source for mitigation for the project, but you don't need to spell that out. So we would just like that more narrowly focused on environmental mitigation for bike and pedestrian projects. And secondly, we would like to remove urban forestry and roadside recreation areas from eligible uses. Those are called out within the federal transportation alternatives program as eligible expenses, but again, we don't see those as really focused on active transportation, and if that's the goal of this program, then we'd rather focus on what genuinely is really active transportation. And then lastly, with respect to project eligibility, we traditionally like to see any new grant programs make it clear what's eligible for funding. The way it's structured here, a lot of discretion is left to the CTC to define project eligibility, and so potentially they could exclude pedestrian projects. It's very, very broad, and so we'd like the statute to say what's eligible. When we see that in statute, then we can, you know, lobby accordingly, and leave more administrative matters to the CTC. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Motion, please. Moved by Halstead, seconded by Sparing. Any objection to the motion? Motion will pass without objection. Item 4C.
Thank you, Chair Hagerty. AB 1229 by Assemblymember Atkins deals with inclusionary zoning. This is really a housing-only bill. I'd note that there's been a couple of these that we've brought before you this session, you know, just an indicator that we really are getting into the housing field here. Basically, what this bill does is it clarifies in response to a court case, the Palmer decision from 2009, that cities and counties do have the option of adopting inclusionary housing and inclusionary zoning ordinances that basically require developers to set aside a certain amount of housing in a new development for low-income affordable units. It's not a mandate. It's just permissive. It has a lot of support from local jurisdictions in the Bay Area, and we recommend your support.
Thank you. Evelyn Stivers, I think you want to speak on this item.
How'd you guess? Thank you. My name is Evelyn Stivers. I'm with the Nonprofit Housing Association of Northern California, and I really appreciate you considering this item. I actually wanted to speak on the cap and trade issue. Is that okay?
We just said four.
I know.
So
I should have said four.
I figured nonprofit housing. I love this bill.
It's a wonderful bill,
well,
and I hope you support it.
You can speak on whatever you want. How's that?
Okay, thank you. On the cap and trade, I would hope that the next legislative meeting that you consider an amendment, asking Lowenthal to amend the bill to be more consistent with the platform that you adopted last year. The perception from the transit advocates and housing advocates in Sacramento is the current Lowenthal bill that you're supporting is in direct contradiction to what the California ARB has approved. And I'm sure that's not the intent of this commission. So it would be great if the actual final legislation that came out would allow MTC to do all of the wonderful programs MTC actually does. And that's what we would be pushing for, is more flexibility in that bill. So thank you, and please support 1229.
All right. So it happens when you assume. All right. I would ask that I get a motion, because I'm sure there's a motion by McKenzie. We're on 4C. The second was by Halstead. Is there any objection to the motion? Motion passed without objection. We will move now to 5A.
Kenneth Folan with MTC staff, and I'll give you an update on 5A, which is the endorsement of Bay Area Projects for the Tiger 5 grant program. The program is $474 million this time around, and there is a guarantee of $120 million of that $474 is for rural projects. The selection criteria was in the original packet, and then there's an updated sheet that's this purple-ish color sheet that you have here. So that's what I'm working off here. The program, I think, as you all know, is extremely competitive. Just to give you a sense of that, in Tiger 4, there were 703 applications nationwide, and only 47 projects were selected. So that's a success rate of about 7%. We are sticking with an endorsement process that we've used for the first four rounds of Tiger, and that's essentially putting out an endorsement list of about 10 to 15% of the available funding and trying to keep it focused on that. The results that we've had in Tiger Rounds 1 through 4 have been $111 million have been captured, and that's about 4% of all of the Tiger funds that have been available. So it's a decent success rate based on different measures that we can measure against in the Bay Area. And finally, just very importantly, any eligible sponsor can submit with or without the regional endorsement. So I'll move down to the box on the first page of the memo that says Tiger 5 proposed regional endorsement. And those are the five projects that staff is recommending that the committee approve. And it's broken into two groups. The first three projects would compete in the the section with $354 million with all the urban areas, and the second two projects would be in that $120 million rural guarantee. So obviously it's a wide range of projects. They touch six counties. We have bike ped in there, express lanes, rail, bus, transit centers, trade corridors, and a nice balance between small and large projects. And we believe these are all competitive and ready to go. So I would finally then just, there are descriptions of each one of the projects on the next page, but I would just turn your attention to Attachment A, the second piece, and that does highlight the projects that we know about that also are planning to submit, but we are recommending not endorsing as regional endorsement projects. Obviously, real quality projects there. Likely more than this will actually submit. Some of the reasons why we are not endorsing these are that they have submitted Tiger applications in the past and were not rewarded. Some have substantial federal investment already, as well as one is in an earlier phase, and we think the most competitive thing is in a construction phase. So that's the staff recommendation, is approving the projects on the front of the memo, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions?
I have one, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Commissioner McKenzie.
It would be very bad of me as a smart director not to...
Can you qualify smart?
Smart Sonoma Marin Area Rail Transit. You may notice under the line here, Marin and Sonoma North South Greenway, including the Smart Bike Path project for $10 million. And I just wanted to know on what basis the recommendations are made. Is there a scoring system? Is it... I don't know. I'd just like a wee bit of clarity on that, please.
I think on the SMART project, one of the key considerations we used in evaluating that was that it had been submitted in prior Tiger rounds, and it had been endorsed by this commission in the Tiger 3 round.
Yeah.
And it certainly would be... you know, it could fit into a bicycle category. It could be considered similar to the Napa Vine Trail, but we are electing to move on to, or recommending moving on to, a different project if prior rounds there wasn't success.
Well, clearly that doesn't make me very happy, but that's all right. It's not your job. It's not your job to make me happy. But the other question I'd have is, if in fact SMART resubmits this project now in round four, is there a bias against us because we're resubmitting? There seems to be on the part of staff here.
I think there may well be, Commissioner. That's the point we're making, that if you've been in the round...
I'm trying to be sensitive.
No, and look, I'm not trying to give offense either, but if you've been in the round several times and you haven't gotten money, I think someone's trying to give you a hint. Now, again, we are not here as a gatekeeper to prevent projects from going forward, but we are trying to maximize whatever prestige we can give to projects by trying to back winners.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the Contra Costa project, which was a very good project, beat us out the last time around, as I recollect. I still think that the SMART project, and clearly all of us in SMART feel that it has a huge benefit in our area. I believe we're as rural a county as Solano County. Anyway, there's no point in me saying more. I will have to advise my general manager and board of the advice you've just given me, and we'll have to consider what we're going to do. Thanks.
Okay.
Appreciate it, Mr. Chair.
That was a lot of fun. So can I get a motion on this? Wait, Steve, do you have a question?
Not for me again. I
think that we ought to pay attention. If that's the attitude of the staff, that if it doesn't make it through the first time, it shouldn't come back, we should keep our eye on these other projects as well.
And I think that's a fair challenge, and I don't think it was just one time. I think it was multiple times.
No, it was one time that we got recommended. Twice that we came here, only once did you support it.
Okay.
Okay. There's another person that won't be making the motion. Can I get a motion? I got a motion by Sperry and a second by Hallstatt. Is there any objection to the motion? All right. No objection to the motion. So ordered.
Let the record show that McKenzie's not happy.
That's okay. Like you said, it's not his job to make you happy, nor is it any of ours. Okay. 5B, Tom Bolger's report.
Tom's report's there.
Well, thank you. You know, this committee does not have a section for public comment, which it should. So, Rich Hedges, you want to comment under public comment?
Yeah, we're trying to put together some funding for transportation. I was perusing around the internet trying to find information on tar sands in California, and up popped an article that says that California will likely pass Texas in the largest oil-producing state in the nation, and we don't have an oil extraction tax, the only state. That needs to be rectified for environmental reasons, for spending, for transportation reasons. It makes no sense. They're taking our gold, black gold from underneath us and leaving nothing in return except air emissions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hedges. Evidently, staff has given the chairman a different agenda than everybody else's, so I probably have different things. I probably have different projects under the Tiger Grant and everything else, too. So.
Oh, no, you don't.
But I will gladly prove to you I don't have
I had asked them to make it a different day, but apparently they didn't get that.
No, everything else seems to work. I'm not working off the wrong agenda. All right, with that, seal.